Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Kaf Vav B'Tishrei, Parashas Bereishis, Tavshinayin Zion, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 27 October, 2016, webcasting from the land that rattles minds. We all know of the so-called Jerusalem syndrome. When some first-time visitor to Jerusalem, commonly a Christian, enters a kind of delusional state, loses his or her identity, and has to be helped by Israeli police, who send them off to hospital for maybe a 24-hour rest period until the spell disappears and they return to themselves. Well, I think anti-Semitism is a version of that condition. The very idea of Jerusalem, for some people, you don't even have to visit, messes up their minds and leads to delusions about Jews in general. I mean, yesterday's second vote in UNESCO inside 2 weeks, vote was 10-2 with 8 abstentions, that denies the connection between Jews and our Temple Mount, really the center of Jerusalem. It's a variety of dementia. It's in a class with Holocaust denial and its kissing cousin, Palestinian nationalism. In all three cases, a person rewrites known history, deleting events here, adding events there. In truth, 7 of the 10 were Muslim countries, and so it's perfectly understandable that they voted as they did, for this delirium of an idea is there because their religion is no less than Holocaust denial and Palestinian nationalism, a massive rewriting, revisioning, and reconceptualizing of Jewish history, the history that came before. The very concept of Islam is drenched in the plagiarizing of Judaism, the record of the Jewish nation, its history that began with one man and one woman, Avraham and Sarah. Islam, meaning submission, points to Ibrahim, the Arab mispronunciation of his name, submitting to the command of Allah to bind his son for a sacrifice, with his son being the firstborn son, Ismail, another mispronunciation by these word thieves, which event Muslims claim took place in Mecca at the Kaaba, the most important destination for a Muslim pilgrim when he makes his pilgrimage to Mecca. One of Islam's 5 commandments, you know. The very idea of having any commandments, whatever the number, is also more plagiarizing. And since the days of Muhammad himself, whenever a Muslim has been asked to explain the discrepancy between the Jewish version of this story, in which the son is Isaac and the location, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the Muslims have always said the Jewish version is wrong. The Jews stole the story from the Quran. And when asked to explain how this could be when the Torah Sinai was delivered to Moshe Rabbeinu on Mount Sinai, approximately 2,000 years before the life of Muhammad, they answered that Musa, their mangling of the name Moshe, was given the Quran at Mount Sinai, and after he descended, the perfidious Jews rewrote it and called it their Torah. Muhammad then, after 2,000 years, comes along and restores the original version. You get the picture. The sons of Ishmael, who was a highway robber, stole the story of the binding of Isaac, claimed it was their story, and we stole it from them, and changed the dramatis persona. This is with whom we are dealing. And it was this Ishmaelitic mind at work in UNESCO yesterday, and 2 weeks ago. In my research into UN resolutions in the years 1945 to 1989, I found 53 resolutions in UNESCO alone in which Israel was linked to apartheid South Africa. Another method of painting Zionism in the colors of racist Western imperialism. UNESCO has been voting on such resolutions for decades. And so have other departments and agencies in the UN, which is a cauldron of Jew-hatred coursing through the veins of that entire organization. The J-Post lead story today was Netanyahu recalling Israel's ambassador to UNESCO home for consultations, which I find to be just silly. As much as I am a supporter of Bibi, as the best there is, which is not to be confused with someone who's always right, he remains the same author of A Place Among the Nations, a highly intelligent book, if empty of all feeling, like a suitor who cannot take no for an answer, and makes a nudnik of himself to the woman who rejects him constantly. Israel keeps demanding a place among the nations at the UN, which conceptually opposes the prophecy of Bilam in the Torah, but the Jews will be a people that dwells alone. And this Netanyahu, this scion of Jabotinsky's non-religious nationalism for Jews, modeled on the 19th century Western liberalism found in Europe, it's no different from his contemporary on the left, Dr. Joseph Balin, Ph.D. He too wants Israel to be welcomed among the nations, which Dr. Balin says cannot be so long as Israel occupies the heart of ancient Philistia and keeps it from its rightful owners. In general, I wish Israelis, the ruling class here, would stop getting hot under the collar every time delusional anti-Jews start yapping at us like this. Yesterday as well, official Israel displayed to the media a piece of parchment written over 27 centuries ago referring to Jerusalem and a place name found and a place name found in the book of Joshua, chapter 16, verse 7. And it sounds, this piece of parchment, like a bill of lading or an invoice for a shipment from one known town mentioned in Joshua to Jerusalem. And I'm waiting for the prime minister and the rest of his official Israel and opinionating journalists here to take note that the very name Jerusalem is a Hebrew word. It's a Jewish word. And anyone speaking in any of the languages around the globe in which the Bible has been translated, the name Jerusalem comes out again and again in various pronunciations. In Spanish, it's Jerusalem. And in Russian and Greek, it's Jerusalem. And in French, it's Jerusalem. The person who speaks this name is using the Jewish name. Every people on earth, in its local version of the Bible, calls it Jerusalem in its own accent, except for the Arabians, the Muslims, who call it Al-Quds, site of the Beit al-Maqdis, the temple of Suleiman, who of course was a Muslim. And it's no coincidence that the lunacy of the so-called Oslo Peace Accords imploded in July 2000 at Camp David in that three-way discussion between President Clinton, Prime Minister Barak, and that poisonous reptile Yasser Arafat. The fantasy of a peace agreement with that evil creature died when Arafat told Clinton the Jews never had temples on Haram al-Sharif. They just say that, he said, because they want to steal it from us. In his behavior, Arafat was mimicking the object of his adoration, Muhammad, who said that about the Torah 14 centuries earlier. It was the character of Ishmael in the Torah, as elucidated by our brilliant sages, that made he was truly a believing Jew, when he realized that there is more depth and insight into the Arabs in the Torah and its commentaries in the person of Ishmael than all the scores of books written by worthy people with their PhDs on the Arabs and Islam that I had read and used. For me, the character of Ishmael is not only the most profound portrait of the Arabs, it's timeless. It was true almost 4,000 years ago when Ishmael lived, and now 4,000 years later, it's still true. UNESCO has provided Israel with a great gift that I believe Israel will not acknowledge and benefit from, if not in the short term. What Israel might do is inform the world that this denial of recorded history by UNESCO and its Muslim states is as insane as Holocaust denial, which is a crime in some countries, and no less a denial is Palestinian nationalism, its denial of recorded history and the invention of the people that never existed. As every sober Jew today sees with clarity the craziness of Holocaust denial and now Jerusalem denial, so official Israel should express its conviction that Palestinian nationalism is in the same category. It is no less a fantasy and really a smokescreen for a pre-existing condition that it covers up, which is Islamic Jew hatred. The MBA and the Oval Office cannot tolerate hearing the words Islam and terrorism in the same sentence, and so Israelis cannot tolerate calling a spade, and taking note of the pre-existing hatred of Jews by Muslims that has absolutely nothing to do with settlements, not even with Zionism. In fact, Zionism is the reactive self-defense against Muslim oppression of Jews that has existed from day one of that lunatic religion's existence.
hasne beine hasne hasne boel hasne boel hasne boel ma esh beine hasne beine hasne hasne boel hasne boel hasne boel ma esh hasne eneno hasne hasne boel hasne boel hasne boel vaish vehine hasne vehine hasne hasne boel hasne boel hasne boel vaish hasne eneno
Yeah, I want to see Israelis become as dismissive of Palestinian nationalism as they are of the mental antics and gymnastics of the anti-Jew states in UNESCO who voted for that lunatic resolution. And it is no coincidence that the moon, Luna, is a symbol of this lunatic, cockeyed religion. Muslims, in imitation of the Jews, use a lunar calendar, but without the reality of the solar calendar that Judaism intercalates, the Muslims don't do that, so their holidays roll around the calendar like a drunken sailor. They're completely disconnected from the four seasons that God has given us. They have a problem, the Muslims, with time and chronology, the sequencing of events. So it's easy for them to say the Quran is older than the Torah and the real book that Musa brought down from Mount Sinai. Like Holocaust denial and the UNESCO vote, Islam itself is a rewriting of history, in particular Jewish history. That is one major difference between Islam and Christianity, those two stepchildren of the Jewish people. Christianity left more or less intact, with too many bad translations, the Tanakh, and added in the language of the Greeks, that's the Jews' mortal and spiritual enemies, stories about one Jew in the land of the Jews, which additions the Jewish people have never accepted. But at least to Christendom's credit, they kept the Old Testament, as they call it, as it was, versus the Muslims who rewrote it. By my count, there are some 24 Jews in the Old Testament who appear in the Quran, and in every case, their stories, their biographies are corrupted, radically distorted sometimes. And what I'm saying is that this week's UNESCO Follies is just more of the same. This utter disrespect for recorded history. These Muslims, these Arabs, are like wild, undomesticated donkeys who, like all animals, really are all appetite, unbridled by anything, and certainly unbridled by recorded history. The Arabs are all appetite for the wealth of others, with no inner restraints on their desires. In the 7th century, they overran Jerusalem. They stole Jerusalem and then made up a story to justify their right to it and the right to take Jerusalem away from the Jews, who now want to steal it back. That, anyway, is the portrait of the ever-feuding Arab tribes as they were before the First World War by British writer, amateur anthropologist Gertrude Bell, who liked to observe them in their raids, tribes raiding tribes, encampment against encampment. There was no inhibition against raiding another encampment and stealing whatever one could. The sheep, the camels, the women, in the knowledge that at some future date the victims of their raid would strike back to take back what was taken and then some. It's a way of life. And here we have UNESCO doing the bidding of the Muslim states who so dominate in the UN by acting out their age-old behavior. This resolution is a version of Arafat's behavior at Camp David. The Jews have no rights to Haram al-Sharif. And I await the day when official Israel girds its loins and finally does battle on the battlefield of words and language with Palestinian nationalism, which is as bogus as these other delusional states of mind. Israel, in other words, must stop trying to appease the goyim of this world with our good intentions and desire to compensate the ancient victims of our movement of national resurrection. Just yesterday in Haaretz, there was an archive photo from 1948 of a line of Arabs leaving the country so as not to get caught in the middle of the fighting, and the caption referred to the people in the picture as, quote, Palestinian refugees in 1948. And all I could do was sigh. This is so wrong and so symptomatic of what has happened to the people of Israel by going along with this monstrous perversion of history. The Arabs in this picture were not called Palestinian refugees at the time the picture was taken. They were called Arab refugees, whose leader, Haji Amin al-Husseini, furiously denied the existence of such a country as Palestine. But Israelis, the seeds of post-Jewish, post-religious Jews, have assimilated the lies of Palestinian nationalism and now feel guilty over their own people's national revival. They have learned to see the evil in it. Well, my personal witness and participant in the world of the 1950s and 60s is evidence that this kind of guilt and regret over the crimes of Zionism simply did not exist. Israel, especially after 1967, left observers around the globe slack-jawed with what an amazing place Israel had become. Its performance in the Six-Day War was not only spectacular in execution, but clearly a righteous act of national self-defense. There was not one sane Jew in the world who objected to Israel's victorious overrunning of Judea and Samaria that June and the routing of the Jordanian army back across the river. Israel's presence in Judea and Samaria that June was perfectly legitimate and no reason for guilt, and it's been a legitimate presence every day since then because there has been no reason to remove the presence. So Israel was covered at that time not only in glory for its fantastic military excellence, but the rightness of its victory. The Arabs before the war in all the Arab capitals, we used to see them on television and evening news, millions of them shouting, slaughter the Jews, and let's finish Hitler's work. But over time, and thanks to the cultivation of the evil ideas of Palestinian nationalism, the Six-Day War has been rewritten as an act of racist, fascist, imperialist aggression by Israel that refuses to stop its aggression and return the land to its legitimate owners. What Israel has to do is stop mollycoddling the Arabs and stop trying to demonstrate to the hostile goyim abroad how much you want to do right by the victims of Zionism. And instead, Israel has to dismiss the entirety of the Palestinian national claim, which is no less demented than Holocaust denial and now Jerusalem denial. Listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yes, it's time for Israel to stop trying to placate these people. Yesterday we read that Avigdor Lieberman, defense minister, approved new construction in Area C, which stirred the pot of irritation and anger on the part of the settler right. But today he clarified that he did not authorize the building of homes, but hospitals and public facilities like a soccer field as part of his plan to be good to communities that behave themselves and be less good to those who produce terrorists to attack us. More a social work, really. If Lieberman thinks this will modify their behavior when the source of their violence comes not in the least from a lack of hospitals and soccer fields, he's mistaken. It comes from a mindset with the flimsiest attachment to reality and truth. Last Thursday, the executive committee of the PLO, that's the parent company of the Palestinian Authority, announced the launch of a year-long campaign to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Balfour Declaration of 2 November 1917. The PLO said the declaration was a colonialist project, and the new initiative is meant to, quote, remind the world, and particularly Britain, that they should face their historic responsibility and atone for the big crime Britain committed against the Palestinian people. Last July, you may remember, the phantom foreign minister of the phantom state of Palestine, Riyad Malki, said London was responsible for all Israeli crimes since the end of the Mandate in 1948. And I contend that with such people, no serious negotiations can take place. They must be dictated to. Beneath these words is a delusional history of the country at the time of the Balfour Declaration. Al-Maki said the Balfour Declaration, quote, gave people who don't belong there something that wasn't theirs. Aha. We're back to thievery, are we? This implies a reality that did not exist in 1917. The Balfour Declaration came more than six decades after Jewish people had begun bringing the wasteland that the Holy Land had become under Muslim neglect back to life, which is why the Balfour Declaration made sense. It was already a project underway and successful. Balfour was not only the beginning of a new historic period, but the conclusion of one. In 1905, a dozen years before the Balfour Declaration, Jerusalem under the Muslims had a population of 60,000 souls, two-thirds of them Jews, with no reference to Palestinians in that census whatsoever. Jerusalem today is home to almost 1 million people, and that is thanks exclusively to the Jewish people. There's not any Palestinian nation doing anything for Jerusalem, and so theirs is the community here that does not belong. Joan Peters, in her great work From Time Immemorial, recorded the influx of people over the decades. Once again, this is the foreign minister of the phantom Palestinian state asserting that they are the real owners and they have the real holy text given to Musa in the Quran. They are all appetite for the wealth of others with no respect for truth. They want what they want and will say anything to justify their hunger for the possessions of others, which includes not only their material wealth, but their spiritual property, their religion, too. This is how I look on Islam these days. It is nothing but Judaism purloined and perverted, and on display this week with its latest claim that the Temple Mount of the Jews is really theirs. I also understand the UNESCO resolution contains language that accuses Israel of damaging religious sites in Jerusalem, damaging religious sites in Haram al-Sharif and Christian sites too, as if we Jews act like Muslims, like those in Afghanistan who infamously destroyed those gigantic carvings of the Buddha, like the Muslims in Iraq and Syria who smash archaeological treasures in museums and smash the pillars at Palmyra. It is Israel that bears the guilt for such crimes, according to this resolution. Mind you, this primitive mental operation is not unique to Muslims, it's human. Yesterday in J-Post, there was a report on the indignation of the enlightened in Israel at the decision of Habima to perform in Kiryat Alba, and one letter writer to this theater said, quote, it's disgraceful that the theater would perform in one of the most blatantly violent strongholds of the occupation, close quote. Please, Kiryat Alba is where little beautiful Halel Yafa was stabbed to death in her bed by a crazed Muslim. It's where there have been countless attacks against Jews, stabbings, attempts to run them over in cars. And yet in the mind of this anti-Jew Jew, it's the Jews of Kiryat Arba, who live in one of the most blatantly violent strongholds of the occupation. Yeah, the violence in Judea, in his mind, is Jews attacking Arabs, not Arabs attacking Jews. Anti-Jew dementia is an equal opportunity derangement. You don't have to be a goy to hate Jews.
מזמור לתודה הריעו להשם כל הארץ עבדו את השם בשמחה בואו לפניו ברננה דעו כי השם הוא אלוקים הוא עשנו ולא אנחנו עמו וצאן מרעיתו בואו שעריו בתודה חצרותיו בתהילה הודו לו ברכו שמו כי טוב השם לעולם חסדו ועדור ודור אמונתו מזמור לתודה הריעו להשם כל הארץ עבדו את השם בשמחה בואו לפניו ברננה דעו כי השם הוא אלוקים הוא עשנו ולא אנחנו עמו וצאן מרעיתו שעריו בתודה חצרותיו בתהילה הודו לו ברכו שמו כי טוב השם לעולם חסדו והדור ודור אמונתו
And that was Psalm 100. Okay, that's it for this Thursday evening, and I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath, the Sabbath of reading Bereshit. What a pleasure that will be. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.